Morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good Friday. Who called it Good Friday? Think about it. Good Friday? That's when he was crucified on Friday. Was it good or was it not good? What was the most powerful, glorious work that God ever did? Was it dividing the Red Sea? I mean, that was pretty impressive, you know. That was pretty awesome. Feeding people for 40 years, their sandals didn't wear out. That's pretty cool. I mean, changing water to wine, and they were in awe. Whoa! Look how amazing God is. Oh, my gosh. And they sang songs. My enemy's been... What was the most glorious, powerful, unbelievable work that God ever did? He did it and they all missed it. He did the most glorious, powerful, unbelievable work in history. And no one recognized it. Two people did. The one on the cross, because he was like, he said this, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How was this thief able to recognize who he was? Because he saw the glorious work that he did. He knew that he was innocent. And when he heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, Jesus basically, in forgiveness, we're not only been offended, we are the offenders also. We are the offenders also. And so, Jesus did this. You are all offenders. I'm sorry, but, you know. Here's the people that are crucifying him. And he's like, Lord, let me give you a reason why you shouldn't have mercy on them, why you should forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's interceding for all these people that just brutalized him. Good Friday? In the natural man, it was a horrible Friday. To the disciples, it was, I thought he was the one. It was the biggest letdown to so many of them. But it's actually Good Friday. Your obstacles, this person, oh, and I can feel the frustration. Because when I go to my sister's house, I've got to back out, and when I back out, there's this truck right there, and you can't turn. And it's just like, you got to... What a bad situation. What a frustrating situation. Or is it a grand opportunity? Is it a work that the Lord is doing... And you just truly can't see. Maybe you're just blind to the reality. God doesn't just want us to free us from sin, the power of sin. He gives us victory over that. But he wants to change our perspective. He wants us to be able to see the way he sees. And so this is in Luke 24, it's just powerful. And verse 17. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other, talking about the crucifixion. They weren't calling it Good Friday. They were calling it Bad Friday. And Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood in their faces downcast. The greatest work that had ever been done, that God performed, the most glorious work. And they're like, I know it was grievous. I understand that. But the reality of it, of what it brought, was the ability for the Lord to come live and dwell within us and truly set us free so that we can actually, man, something in our relationship broke. You know, our relationship, God's over there, I'm over here, I don't have a relationship with that person anymore. It broke. And there's no way to restore that relationship. And all heaven grieved because there was no one who can open the seal to make this thing right. But then there was one that came. And he reconciled us. Reconciled us. He made a way so we could come back to get together. And then we could walk together in the garden and in the cool of the day and hear him and let him speak to us. And it says, they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days?" And he says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And he says, "Are you only visiting? You don't know what's going on? Do you think Jesus knows what's going on?" Yet he's still asking what? Question. He's still coming to us and saying, hey. What's going on here with this neighbor of yours? Do you think he don't know? What's going on with this situation with you? Talk to me about it. He knows. He's just wanting to open your eyes and let you see the most glorious work that he wants to do today. And are you the only visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened these days? 19. What things? He asked. Here he is asking again about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And we thought he was going to deliver us from Rome. We thought he was going to deliver us from the oppressor. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to Rome, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Oh, I hoped that he was going to be the one. I'm hoping that he's going to transform me. I'm hoping that he's the one that's going to free me from my bondages, from my chains. But he is, but he's just using your neighbor too. He's using your circumstances to open your eyes. So I know you're in a very difficult place. I know it's crushing. I know it's frustrating. And I know you want to... I encourage you. Well, he's coming along you. He's there with you. He is for you. And he's asking you questions. Tell me about what's going on. Tell me about what's going on. Tell him about what's going on. Take the time. Settle down. Or go for a walk. And let him come along and ask you questions. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. We thought he was the one. We hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. What is more, this is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning but didn't find the body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow to trust in me. You know I'm with you. You know I'm there. You know you can come to me I'll give you grace. I'll show you what's really going on. Stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the lies. Stop it. Turn your face to me. Hear what I have to say to you. Hold on to it. Because my words have life to you. My words have grace to you. My words have strength to you. I'm here. I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" His face was mutilated. Did he not have to suffer? It's all through the scriptures. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. How awesome is that? I mean, so here they're walking, right? And he's like, Jesus, like, he really has an agenda to be with them, right? But he's just like, let's see how much they really, do you really want me to come? And so he starts walking off. He's like, no, no, where are you going? I want you to be, I just want to stay with you. And it says, as they approached the village that they were going, Jesus continued as if they were going further, but they urged him strongly. They urged him strongly. Stay with us. Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with him, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It was you. I don't know where the process that my sister is in with this neighbor, but we're all in that process. We're all in somewhere in that frustrating moment. Maybe it's taking place, but God will reveal himself. God will show himself to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our relatives, to us. We'll be able to see him. Just trust him in this Good Friday, in this very difficult time, but It's a Good Friday. It's actually, Good Friday was the most glorious act that God had ever done. It just was. His full glory was manifested. Not just his power, but who he was, who he is, was manifested that day. And it says, and he was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Boop. He's gone. Can you see him? He's here. Do you think he was really gone? He was still there. They just couldn't see him now, right? He disappeared, but he was just watching them. You're like, this is so good with his disciples. He disappeared and from their sight, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Was not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? My encouragement to you is this. When your heart's burning, when you're spending time and you're reading the scriptures and you're just going through, and then bam, your heart starts burning. Or when someone's sharing and your heart starts burning, your heart is like someone's fanning the flame. It's him. You have to discern, but he's there for you, speaking to you, encouraging you. And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two had told him what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Bless you guys. It's a Good Friday. Amen. Allow him, walk with him. Get his perspective. Bless you, love you.